you would, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. We're continuing our study in Daniel. And before we get into the scripture, let's kind of get a review. How did we get to where we are at this moment in Daniel? Well, through the prophets, were prophesying, mainly Jeremiah, was prophesying that because of the sins of Judah and Jerusalem, judgment is going to fall upon the nation of Judah and Jerusalem, that it would be taken over by Babylon. Jeremiah calls it by name, says who's going to be there. It's going to be Nebuchadnezzar. The warnings came and came and came, and they were ignored. Well, guess who winds up in Jerusalem? King Nebuchadnezzar, just as promised. Now, oh yeah, I know, everybody's phone's fixing to go off, mine's fixing to fire off too, but we do thank God for this, the Amber Alert, because that's how many lives have been saved because of it. Yes. But one thing that Nebuchadnezzar did was, he said, okay, I'm going to besiege these cities. I'm going to take this territory. And he did that throughout the region. But in the process, he took the brightest and the most brilliant and the most skilled back to Babylon with him. So, came the best of the priests, the best of the prophets, the best of everything. The best educated, the most wise from Jerusalem were taken to Babylon. Still enemy territory. It's like plucking you up from here and sending you off somewhere else and saying, fit in. So we begin to see, as Daniel, he's 18 years old, about 17 to 18 years old. He's a young man. He's been plucked from his home where he was raised, plucked from his faith, which revolved around the temple worship, and placed in this foreign territory. And now he's been asked to start beginning to compromise. The first thing we see in Daniel chapter 1, he's asked to eat a certain diet, which goes counter to his dietary restrictions as a Hebrew, as a son of Abraham. Does he compromise? No. He comes up, says, hey, I have a better idea. Let me try this. If within this certain amount of time you don't see any improvement, you can do whatever you want with me. Cut my head off, whatever. Guess what? The Lord blessed him. The last time we had, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. So Nebuchadnezzar says, here's what I'm going to do. You tell me my dream and you tell me what it means. And throughout the entire province of Babylon, people said, well, that's impossible. How can we know what your dream was? Well, Nebuchadnezzar says, that's what I'm paying you for, is to be able to tell me these things. You're my diviners. You're my astrologers. You're my magicians. You should already be in my head. So Daniel prays to God, said, here's the impossible task that is before us, God, that only you can provide the answer. So not only does God give Daniel the dream, he gives the interpretation of the dream. So now we come to chapter 3. Now we don't know how long of the time span is between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Not too significant. But we see at the end of chapter 2, we see Nebuchadnezzar praising God, saying, oh, the God of Daniel is truly God. But we shall see in chapter 3, that seems to be totally forgotten. Now, according to probably Nebuchadnezzar, that could happen in a span of a couple of days. Because Nebuchadnezzar never truly worshiped God. He gave him lip service. Do we have that going on today? Oh, yeah. God is the God of convenience, so that somebody can get into your head and so that you can say, oh, well, that's a godly individual. Well, just because they say the word God, to him, God can be a salt shaker. All right? I can say God with a little g just as well as I can say God with a big G. And so today, what we're going to do today in chapter 3, we're going to find out how to identify the God with the big G and the gods with the little g. It's right here. How to identify and how to avoid. Now, if you think that God accepts his people to compromise with the ways of this world, you need to read Daniel. The first 6 chapters are truly about Daniel and his friends not compromising. They're in enemy territory. Anything they say, do, on the contrary to the edict of Babylon, is death. And 6 times we see instances where they say no. Think about that. Their sentence is death. We will see this right here. But yet, they do not compromise. This is the lesson that we need to take away as the church today. As the gods of this world are playing to our ears. Say, oh, it's okay. It's all right. It's not going to hurt if you do this. God doesn't mind. God's in favor of it. Pay attention. Let's start. The title of this message is Courage in the Fire. Well, we kind of all know why, because if we've been studying this ever since we were little kids, we know what courage in the fire is. But for us, it should be courage for the fire. Because I believe strongly that for the first time in the history of our nation, the church is about to go into a time of uncertainty, a time of persecution. I believe the time has arrived. And we're going to get into that also as well. But let's first look, chapter 3, where we'll look at the first 7 verses. If I can read the little print. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and whose breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, and all of the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, and all of the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image of that king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the harp, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The first thing we see is that the word that King Nebuchadnezzar set up is in this section seven times. So it's apparent that King Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image. An image. What was it? We don't know. Was it a copy of the dream he had? Possibly. Was it a god of Babylon? Possibly. Was it a statue of King Nebuchadnezzar? Possibly. We don't know. That's not important. You know, we don't need to get into a debate about what kind of image it was. It was an image. And where was it placed? It says, in the plains of Dura. What's Dura? Dura is Hebrew for wall or fortress. Guess what? Not important where it was put. It was put somewhere in Babylon. But what is important was that this image was set up and this edict was made. That when the time came, you will bow down to this image. Now, I've heard this story ever since I was about this tall when I was a little knothead little kid. I'm still a little knothead, but I'm not a kid anymore. However, I was brave enough to say, I wouldn't ever bow down to a golden image. Not me, says a 9-year-old kid full of fire. Well, I'm pretty sure all of us would agree that we would not bow down to a golden image. You put a golden image in front of us, tell us to bow down and worship it, we'd say no. Guess what? Satan knows that too. So the images today are not golden. They're not resurrected. They're not erected for us to visually see. Satan is a defeated foe, but he's still fighting. Why? Well, Scripture tells us he's the god of this world. He's thinking he's running the show at the moment. His job as the defeated enemy is to take as many people down with him as he can. That's the game plan. Christ has something different in store. But guess what? Who are the people listening to? They're listening to the God of this world. Oh, that sounds reasonable. That sounds logical. I can accept that. Now, this has even infiltrated the church. Oh, people, yeah. We could say it's Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus plus this. Or, you know, yeah, Scripture is all well and good, but maybe we should pay attention to what's being spoken about today in the political arena. Scripture plus. Yeah, faith in God's really important, but couldn't doing stuff, making an impact globally? So faith plus. Well, the Reformers had it right. You want to identify an idol? You want to identify a god of this world? If it's not by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, found in Scripture alone. If you go outside that boundary, you are in the plains of Dura. You're about to take a knee to an erected idol. That's how easy it is. You see, let me put it to you this way. It's not Jesus plus baptism. Did that say that anywhere? No. It's not faith mixed with works. No, it's faith alone. Your works are a result of that faith. Your works are a result of that faith through that grace that God has given you. And out of the bleeding of your heart, you do the work. It's just that natural reaction. It's not because I have to work in order to gain my faith. No. You've erected an idol. It's not scripture plus critical race theory. It's not scripture plus social gospel. No. Scripture alone. You want to see the stand the test of time? Do it that way. You want to see an idol? Do it that way. Anything outside of that, you spotted an idol. See, God's already given you your way out. It's easy to say no when you see these. That thing's not done. Of course, he's going to set this thing up. He's still, even though he's a little different, he still works by the same game plan. First he sets the whole thing up. I'm going to set this idol up. It's going to look good. People are not going to buy into it just quite yet, but here's how I'm going to play this. Then he invites all the who's who to come and look at the idol. Come here, look. Here it is. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, it was the astrologers, the scientists, the wise men, the magicians, the high-ranking officials. In today's society, we got the athletes and the entertainers. See how far we have fallen. If we're taking moral advice from someone who says ban a cartoon because it looks a little racy, but yet almost performs a sex show on TV, I don't think I'd be taking moral advice from them. If you're wanting to take how to be patriotic advice from someone who says he's oppressed and all this other stuff, but yet takes a $90 million shoe contract, you might want to check your patriotic information. He's not a patriot. You see, you want to get rid of these two? Quit watching TV and quit watching sports. They will go away pretty quickly. Now's the time we as children of God need to be as in Ezra's time, students of the Scripture. It's now more important than ever that this book be opened. Because we have some of our own buying into this stuff. And we need to have the discerning radar on at each time someone speaks. Be careful. We already have my favorite Campbellite, Max Lucado, or was, already on his apology tour. I guess his books, softball book sales are down. But why am I apologizing? What am I apologizing for? Something my forefathers didn't do? Can I repent of their sins? No. Why? Because I did not commit them. They did. If they didn't repent of them by that time, it's going to be held in account. They're going to be held to account. Not me. Them. Let's quit digging up something that happened 200 years ago. Sorry, Charlie. I guess that's hate speech. Yeah, this is not going to make Facebook, people. So we have the who's who of society is invited. There's a time set up. Oh, if, when you all gather around, it's going to be time. And all the pomp and circumstance, when you hear the entertainment, when you hear the music and the laughter and the, hey, this is the greatest thing ever. You're going to enjoy this. When you hear that, then there'll be a time of commitment. You will bow. And if you don't, there's going to be consequences. It's not going to be death by beheading or hanging or whatever. You're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Now, I've seen some photos or pictures that people drawed of what that may have looked like. It doesn't look like very much fun, but, you know, I don't know if I'd want to go in that. I'm from Texas. Yeah, I like the mountains of Mexico where it's 99 degrees and 180 degrees. 180 thermal humidity index feels like 250. I love that. I don't think I'd like it in a fiery furnace, though. I mean, but, and then you have the commitment, time of commitment. Music is sounded. What are you going to do? It is now time to decide. Are you going to bow? Or are you going to resist? Is it time for compromise? Let's see how the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego handled this. Verses 8 through 12. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They did not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, do you think they're bitter? Yeah. Let's see. Last time we hear about this is after Daniel tells the King Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the interpretation. Daniel is made governor regent over the entire province of Babylon. He's made prefect over all the other wise men in council. Okay? And then he also has Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all get a pay increase. They all get a promotion. So do you think a Chaldean is a fancy term for magician or astrologer? That's who they were. They were the wise men. They were the counsel to King Nebuchadnezzar until Daniel shows up. And now they're upset. Oh, king, you know when you told everybody to bow down? Well, these Jews over here, you see that? These Jews over here, they didn't take a knee. They pay no attention to anything you say. Now we, boy, I fell flat first. I was chewing dirt. But they, great king, they are in open defiance of you. You see, this world's going to criticize the people of God. They don't like you here. There's a reason why. You see, there's a reason why when Christ comes into our lives, when we become believers in Christ, what's to keep him from taking us up immediately? Sometimes I ask myself that. Why don't you just take me home? He said, because you've got work here to do. I leave you here. You are my missionaries. You are my ambassadors. You are my representatives of the kingdom of God. You see, this is not our home. I was born, bred, wed, and be found dead in Texas. I bleed Lone Star. Okay? You know? You take me out of Texas. You took me. I went to Oklahoma for 3 years. I couldn't get back fast enough. I was laying on a gurney, fixed to go have open heart surgery. Okay? I told my wife, as she was wheeling me out, I said, if it looks like I'm going to die, I want you to throw me in the back of that van, get me across that border as soon as you can, because I'm not dying in Oklahoma. Just ain't going to do it. She said, well, that's not funny. I said, I'll see you in a little bit. But guess what? This is not my home. I've been put here to represent the kingdom of heaven. When people look at me, they see there to see an ambassador to the kingdom of heaven. Now you think about that. We send ambassadors all over the world. That may be the only representation of America these people ever see. Now, what if they acted like a deviant? What if they were just totally vulgar, indecent? What would people get their ideal of what Americans are like? That's an American. That's what they're like. Same here. We may be the only scripture a person ever reads. We may be it. We may be the only reference to Christ anyone will ever see. What are they looking at? Here's some of the thoughts. If you think the world's our buddy, this is Joey Behart from The View. She said, Christians are mentally ill. All right. Don Lemon, who's a CNN anchor, says, God approves of homosexual marriage. Well, see, since most Christians don't read the Bible, it's good to know that somebody from CNN can speak for God. See? So that's good. Teacher in New Jersey is suspended for giving a student a Bible. A fire chief in Atlanta was fired for publishing a book on Christian moral teachings. And a Marine was court-martialed for a Bible verse over her desk. So you tell me that the world, or that this country, is friendly to the church? No. So why in the world are we trying to entice it? Why in the world are we attempting to be like the world? James says explicitly, you're friends of the world, you're an enemy of God. I mean, I don't know what Bible most of these churches that are into this, hey, let's just be like the culture, let's be relevant. Really? I don't want to be relevant. I want to be counter-revolutionary. Christ was a radical. He said things that just blew people's minds. Read it. Read him. It's time we take back that. It's time for the church militant to wake up. Now, does that mean we take arms? No. We take the gospel. We're already armed with the sword. We've been given that. This right here appears straight to the bones and the marrow. Not only would they criticize, the gods of this world is going to challenge God's people to worship them. Look at verses 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a fiery rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready where you hear the sound of the harp, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Oh, has Nebuchadnezzar gotten arrogant now? Where is your God? How many times before one dies in the cause of Christ does he hear that sound? Where is your God now? Standing right by me. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already know what the outcome of this is going to be? No. They immediately think, okay, if I fall down and worship, I'm dead to God. But if I stand, I'm dead to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. What choice is that? I'll take death to Nebuchadnezzar. He can kill me, but what is he going to do? He's going to send me home. Where I want to be in the first place. So where's my God now? Right here. He's ready to either deliver me or he's ready to take me home. He's ready to make you look like an idiot either way. Not an arrogant, egomaniacal king. So what are we to do? It says, God's people must be courageous in the face of danger. Look at verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, be it known to you, king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." They answered him back. They said, "Look, you've already seen what we are like. You've seen how we've been to you. We've been fair. We've been just. But we have not bent. Why would we answer that question? You know, you've seen us." But our God is going to deliver us. Or he's going to take us with him. One of the things I remember in seminary was I had the honor of making many of the international friends from different regions. And one friend, he was from Ethiopia. And I sat right next to him in one of my classes. And we would talk and share about the differences between the Ethiopian church and the Americanized church and things of that nature. I wanted to kind of get into how people worship other places than right here in the good old USA and downtown McKinney, where there's a church on every block. Well, he said, you know, his thing was, well, the Ethiopian church is pretty solid in most villages, except, he said, there's a growing Muslim influence. And he said, they come into a village and they have their pockets full. and they start buying out the people, buying everything, making the village nice. And when they get it to where they want it, they make a demand. Convert to Islam or you will die. Simple. Convert to Islam or you will die. And he said, well, some of the villages have declared that if Muslims come into their village, they will fight them off. Okay? And then he said, we will fight to the death. That's what it takes. I showed up one day, and he's sitting there with a very long look on his face. I can't even pronounce his name, so don't even attempt it. He had a very long look on his face, and I said, what's wrong? He said, got news from my village. He said, I must go. That was the last I heard from him. That was the last day I saw him, the last day I heard from him. I won't know anything about him on this side of until we get to heaven. But apparently, the Muslims had showed up. Had another friends, several of them, from South Korea. Now, the Korean contingent from Southwestern was a fascinating group. They believed they were missionaries sent from South Korea to America. There's a scary thought. That other countries are sending missionaries here because the church is not doing its job, is basically what he said in a nutshell. And so they wanted me to join them on some of their missionary journeys. And one of them, he said, we could get you into North Korea. And I said, I don't think so. That's not going to happen. Because they did go to North Korea quite often. He said, okay, well, the next week he's sitting there and he said, I want to show you something. I said, okay, what do you got? He was showing me a video in a cave. It's cold because you can see the breath coming from people's faces. Little candles, that's all they had for light. I said, what is this? Because I can't understand a word they're saying because they're speaking in Chinese, not Korean. He said, oh, this is our church in China. He said, this is Christmas Eve service. I said, you're meeting in a cave? He said, we meet anywhere we can. But we're meeting in this cave on Christmas Eve at midnight in China. Because that's the only time that they could go meet and be safe. And so I'm sitting there watching, and he speeds it up because it's a few hours long. And the next thing, you see the pastor standing in freezing water in a river. 2:00, China, Christmas Eve, baptizing people. He said, you come to underground church in China. I said, I wouldn't stick out very much there, would I? I wish I'd taken him up on it, but... See, that's no compromise. These are no compromise individuals. Do you see that most of this world is under persecution right now? Even Mexico, where I go, has now made it to the top 50 persecuted nations. Things like number 35. Number one's North Korea. North Korea, if you are discovered to be a Christian, it is either immediate death or, if you're strong enough, they send you to the labor camp. You don't get a trial, you don't get a hearing, you get nothing. Whatever happens is going to happen at that exact moment. If you're not strong enough, you're dead. If you're strong enough, you're taken out to work. It is the most persecuted nation in the world. For the first time in history, almost every nation is experiencing some sort of persecution. Religious freedom is no more. Did they compromise? No. They simply said, I don't even have to answer that question. You should know by who I am and by whose I am of how I'm going to act. How many believers can say that? That they can look you in the eye and say, I know you will not bend. Well, let's find out. You see, because we can be confident as God's people, no matter the outcome. Look at verses 19 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men who were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, and their hats, and their other garments, they were thrown into the fiery burning furnace because the king's whose order was urgent and the fire near overheated. The furnace of the... I can't read this now. The lies killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said, King, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like the sons of gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came next to the door of the burning fiery furnace and declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the kings, the counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads were not singed, their cloaks were not burned, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I will make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses in ruin, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, as we see here, Nebuchadnezzar's focus was on the 4th man. He had his mighty men bound them, take them up there, and give their lives to cast them into this fire. Not only did these guys fall, they didn't even bump their knees. They didn't even have the smell of smoke. Nebuchadnezzar was looking for a barbecue. He didn't get one. He said, they're unhurt. This is amazing. But it's that 4th man. Who is that 4th man? Looks like the sons of gods? No. part right. It's not the sons of gods. That's the Son of God. That's our protector. That's our defender. That's our deliverer. We got to see firsthand the power that the Son would have over anything this world throws at him. On a hill called Mount Calvary, utter these three words that declared and sealed our salvation. That the defender, the protector, the deliverer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is here. When Christ on that cross said, "It is finished," it was done. Salvation had been achieved. No more killing of bulls, pigeons, goats. No more running to a priest and asking for forgiveness. No more. Christ, the same who was in that fire, hung on that tree. In a world of compromise, it's easy to say no to the Nebuchadnezzars of this world. Why? Because my deliverer, my Savior, has already done the work for me. And it makes no difference. Because of that, I can now face this world unafraid. I can now face this world with boldness. You see, I can now face this world by saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Because you see, Christ defeated the grave. He defeated death. So I have no fear. Some tyrant wants to take my life. The last breath on this earth I will take will be the first breath I take in heaven. When my eyes close for the last time here, they will open for the first time looking at my Savior. You can do whatever you want to with me. Heat that furnace up to 10 times. I don't care. Church, we need to get back to this. Compromise no more. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this day. And as we have seen, that around this world, even in this country, we have begun to sacrifice ourselves to gods that have no business being in our lives. So, Father, I do pray that as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand, knowing what awaited them, they could stand boldly and say, "King, you know we don't even need to answer that, because you know who we serve." So, Father, let the world know without a doubt who we serve. That we serve your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.